This is a wonderful gospel passage, and there's so much here. At the risk of sounding confusing, we're going to try to pull it all together as best we can. First thing is, in all the resurrection appearances, Jesus is trying to get his disciples to transition from their experience of him in the body of Jesus of Nazareth and to experience him in the Eucharist, in the breaking of the bread. And so Jesus has been preparing them for this long before he dies. There on the mountainside when he multiplies the loaves and the fish, that's a precursor of the Eucharist. And then at the Last Supper, when he tells them that this isn't just ordinary bread, this is my body. This isn't ordinary wine, it's my blood. And then he tells Mary Magdalene at the tomb, don't cling to me. He wants them to transition into recognizing him in the breaking of the bread. And then we have that story of the two disciples on the way to Emmaus, and they converse with Jesus all the way down the road, and they don't recognize him until they go in to a meal, and he breaks the bread, and then they know him. So here we have another meal. There's a charcoal fire there, and Jesus has some bread and some fish. Same thing like the multiplication of the loaves and the fish earlier in the gospel. So he's wanting his disciples to recognize him not in the body of Jesus, so he kind of hides himself. In all these resurrection appearances, they don't recognize him until he breaks bread, and then they know him. He wants them to know him in the Eucharist. So that's the first thing. Second thing is, this is a story of reconciliation. Peter denied Jesus three times. Now he gets to tell him he loves him three times. It's Peter's opportunity to reconcile with Jesus, but the thing is set up by Jesus. He takes the initiative. He sets it up so that Peter can say he loves him just as many times as he denied him. As far as I know, there are only two mentions of charcoal fires in the entire Bible. One is this one, and the other one is on Holy Thursday evening, where Peter is warming himself by a charcoal fire, and people ask him, don't you know this guy? And he denies him. I don't know who you're talking about, okay? So John is obviously setting this up as a reconciliation scene. So let's look at that reconciliation. In the Greek, Peter and Jesus use different terms for love. Now, the English translation of this doesn't pick this up because in English, we have one word for love. And it's the same word that we say, I love my wife and I love ice cream, you know? We use the same word for a whole bunch of things. I love kittens, you know. But in Greek, there were at least four words for love, for different kinds of love. And the word that Jesus uses when he asks Peter if he loves him is agape. And agape is a specific kind of love that has to do with choice. It's not physical attraction. It's not just natural liking. It's a choice to love. And so when we say we have love for the poor or we have love for one another as Christians, that's not just attraction. That's not just liking. It's a choice. We choose to love. And it's even more specific than that. It's the kind of chosen love for which we would lay down our lives. And so married partners say, until death do us part. You know, I will lay down my life for you. Now, at the Last Supper, Peter tells Jesus, I will lay down my life for you. And Jesus says, oh, let me tell you, before the cock crows, you'll deny me three times. That's agape. But when Peter responds, he uses the word phileo, which is more like. It's fraternal love. it's something that has more to do with physical attraction, just natural liking. So Jesus says, "Do you love me?" And Peter says, "Yeah, I like you." It's different, isn't it? And for John's gospel, agape is divine love. Because in the Trinity, they're always dying for the other two. They're laying down their life. They're giving their absolute, complete, unreserved self to the other two. That's agape. That's divine love. And Jesus is asking Peter, do you have divine love for me? Do you love me all the way to the death? Would you be willing to die on a cross for me? And Peter says, yeah, I like you. So the third time when Jesus asks, do you love me? He uses Peter's word. He uses phileo, do you like me? What's happening there? I think Jesus is sort of going down to Peter's level. Okay, you're not ready for this divine love. So I'm going to meet you where you are. I'm going to take you as you are, and I have plans for you, and I hope that you're going to grow from that, but I'll meet you where you are. And then he says something interesting. When you were a young man, you used to dress yourself and go where you wanted to go. But when you're an old man, you're going to stretch out your arms and someone else is going to dress you and take you where you do not want to go. Okay? And then the gospel says, and he was referring to the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Remember, Peter was crucified the same as Jesus. So he's stretching out his hands is a premonition of his death. But now let's remember, in the Gospels, Peter always represents the church. We're not just talking about the man Peter, because he's the church. He's us. So God is always willing to meet us where we are. And yet at the same time, he's saying, but I want to warn you, you're being called to divine love. And divine love means to lay down your life. So you might as well start stretching out your hands now, because the time is coming when you're going to let go. And someone else is going to dress you. You know, dressing is a sign of decision forming. I'm going to decide what I'm going to wear today. It's kind of self-formation. It's self-directive. But the Gospels have always told us, haven't they, that we're supposed to let go of our control. We're supposed to let God dress us, let God form us in who God wants us to be. Let God save us. We're always trying to save ourselves. We're always trying to self-determine, make our own choices, be in control. And yet, the ultimate goal is to lose control and to let God dress me and make me look the way he wants me to look and be and love and die the way God wants me to. So God is always meeting us where we are, but he's warning us there's more coming. So you might as well start praying. You might as well start practicing letting go. You might as well start losing now. To die before you die. So that when you die, you will share in the very glory and resurrection of Christ.